Welcome to the Niche Website Builders podcast. Today we have Ben Hardman, and this will be more of an inspirational, even motivational style interview for anyone who's looking to go full time within their self-employment through their niche websites. Ben has just recently gone full time the other month, mainly through his own websites and also through freelancing. And he just left his job a few weeks ago. So if you're looking to do the same, you can follow Ben's journey, take some ideas from his path and how he's done it, and you can implement that into what you want to do to be able to be self-employed and do your own thing. So sit back and enjoy.
Are you ready to get serious about building a profitable brand online? Welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast. We bring you the latest field-tested tips, tricks, and strategies for building a profitable online business. We interview industry experts, share customer success stories, and reveal our own experiences working on hundreds of sites to inspire and motivate you to make something happen. This podcast is brought to you by Make Lemonade. Whether you've launched your business yesterday or you're already a market leader, Make Lemonade will help you rule your world. Head over to makelemonade.agency/show for the latest offers on our services. Let's do this.
All right. Welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast. Today we have Ben Hardman. Welcome, Ben.
Hey, James. How you doing, mate? You okay?
I'm good. It's funny, actually. I just realized your last name is very fitting for the niches that you're in. So,
yeah, I've had that. Oh my God, since I was in school, I kind of, because I've always, fitness is, and sports have been quite a big part. So, my name's usually fitting quite well. A few kind of people taking the mic, but yeah, no, it's a good fit.
No, awesome. So, I think what will be interesting for the listeners, I think, bringing you on just because you've recently just gone full time doing your own thing there. Now, obviously, a lot of listeners in the audience are either striving to be able to go full-time doing their own thing or are already there. And these stories are always, it's interesting, inspirational for a lot of people. But do you want to maybe dive into a little bit of your journey, kind of where you started, then how you got to where you are now?
Yeah, sure. So I've just literally gone full-time, kind of freelance, self-employed this month. So this is my third week doing it on my own, which is absolutely brilliant. And but it's something I've been working towards for probably a couple of years, really. Going back to the start, I started writing, started blog writing in, I think, 2011. So I've been doing it for about, for 12 years now.
Oh, wow.
So I graduated from uni 2010, got a degree in biology. Wasn't too sure what I wanted to do. I knew I liked learning, and I kind of toyed with the idea of doing extra studies, but eventually, it didn't work out. I actually went to Spain for the best part of a year. I kind of teach English out there. I had no commitments. Partners over there at the time, so I just went over and kind of taught English. But then when I got back over to the UK, I really wanted to keep in touch with the Spanish, and I got support in a football team whilst I was out there. So got back over here and I got in touch with a few websites and kind of offered to write to them about this Spanish football team, which is very, very niche. wasn't one of the big players. And I did that for about a year. I was kind of writing for maybe four or five different websites, all just free kind of passion work, really. Then a couple of years after that, I started my first website, 2013, I think it was, about this football team. So it's Real Betis for anybody who follows football, Spanish football in particular. The website's probably still around now, but again, that was the passion site. I had no clue what SEO was at the time, and I was just writing a bit like a news site, really, match reports and previews and general news around the club, and that built up a little bit of a following. It was probably the definition of a niche site, because not many people really wanted to read it, but some did, and some are really passionate about it. I did that for 3 or 4 years, I think. Probably built up to about 150, maybe more, like 200 blogs.
Wow.
Just because I like writing, yeah. And it's only afterwards, a could have made it work with SEO, possibly. I think there were a few kind of topics I could have gone into, but yeah, that got me on the road, just basic WordPress site, and started kind of learning the ropes from there.
Nice. So what happened from there? So you started your own, so you were writing for these things, you started your own sites and realized that you could potentially make money doing it yourself?
So, yeah, well, no, actually, there's a few gaps in between that. So I was writing for that website, did a period of traveling abroad again. In between that, I got a teaching degree, so I was a primary school teacher for a year. And then when I come back from traveling, I got my first job in digital marketing, which was writing for, well, kind of, yeah, digital marketing for a solicitor's firm, which sounds pretty dull. I was writing like about wills and house sales and different types of law. But I loved it because my first job, I was actually getting paid to write, mainly. Stayed there for a little bit, and then I actually moved to myprotein.com, which company you may be aware of, James. Yeah.
Yep.
I'd known the brand for a while, and I use the products, and I was a big fan, and they were local too. So I'm from Manchester, and they were, well, I think they were started in Manchester, and then had offices in Cheshire, which is not too far away. So they were growing massively at the time. I think they still are probably, but yeah. So I went for an interview, but it's a really general interview, kind of sums up the company really at that time, at least. So I met about four or five different managers from different teams. So it's like a sales team, affiliate, then the content and SEO and social and someone else. And then from that, from my conversation with the managers, they placed me within a team. And luckily for me, I went, they placed me in the SEO team. I think it's because I was kind of a bit sales averse, really, and I almost still am. I always like the long-term kind of projects and the natural kind of way to do things. Mm. So put me in the SEO team, and then it kind of all started to click as soon as I joined. It was like a very international team, so we look after all the websites. I think they had 10 English-speaking websites, biggest one obviously UK and the US as well. Learned the ropes. I remember the first day I kind of sat down with the SEO manager, and he was like, "Do you know what a short tail keyword, do you want a long tail?" And I was like, "No, absolutely no idea what you're talking about." But yeah, I learned a lot there. It's very kind of intense environment, but everything from technical side, on page, and we also managed the blog, which was called The Zone. So they had the whole kind of processes for farming out content to writers who just wrote for vouchers at the time, keyword research. Yeah, everything, it just all kind of snowballs from there. And then I think it may have been a year or two after that, then I kind of found a niche that was quite good for me. I think I was Googling one day, you know, a lot of people do, how to make money online writing or something like that. And I come across the Income School guys, and that was... Yeah, then
that's how I started too.
Is it? Yeah. So many stories then. People, yeah, kind of coming across them, and I know they don't do it together anymore, are they? But yeah, they were so helpful. And I didn't buy the course. Sorry about that. But I just watched all the free videos, and I even remember going on there. They had a site that was kind of in the public. Was it the photo one, improved photography? And because I wanted to copy exactly what they were doing, I'd not done the course. I remember looking into the source code of each blog to see the date of publishing from the very first one, and to see, you know, that kind of how they'd done it exactly, and I wanted to replicate that, and that's what I did, really. Yeah, that was 2019, I think it was. So that was like the first kind of proper thing, that proper niche website that started. Yeah.
So, and the photography niche, you went through the same niche as them?
No, this niche was, I just use that as like a template almost to, you know, if it works for them guys, I'll try it and copy their, kind of the rate that they were publishing. So like the first 30 blog posts, I think I did that for, and just to try to get them out in the same kind of time frame. And then, yeah, just kind of did my own thing from there.
Gotcha. Are you still involved with MyProtein at all?
No, I'm not actually. It was, I think the turnover was so high. I think all the people around here have left now. But So no, I'm not involved with them at all.
Oh damn! I was gonna see if we can get a hook up for some links links while on the
No,
podcast.
a lot of, unfortunately not, because yeah, I could have done the same really, but get a few
Yeah.
favors. But no, yeah, so turnover so high is, and I think there's still yeah, still growing so fast,
Oh.
aren't they?
Yeah. So this was around 2019. You had that first niche site. What happened to that niche site? And then what's happened between 2019 and now for you to be able to go full time?
Yeah. So I've still got that niche site. That's my main one. Yeah, almost, well, yeah, 4 years in now, actually. A funny story. So I started that site, and that was a very niche topic again. It was something that I kind of enjoyed doing with my partner. Nothing dodgy. It involved that kind of holiday side of things, and weekend trips. And I was Googling about before we went on a trip, and there was literally nothing on the, you know, on the internet about this topic. And I thought, oh, it kind of fits in what I've been learning recently. I'll just start this site, see how it goes. I think I did maybe five, six, maybe up to 10 posts, and you know, nothing was happening. Obviously, it's brand new site, brand new domain, no traffic whatsoever. And I remember thinking, oh, no, I can't be asked doing this anymore. It's not working. Do something else. And I remember I've saved the emails, actually. I then tried to sell the actual, just the content, the blog post, to these, some kind of relevant, they were all people who made these, you know, types of holidays. I just tried to sell the content to them and got some quite rude emails back, just saying literally no or no thanks. Probably the best one I got. So I thought, you know, it kind of got my back up a little bit. I just, whatever, stick it out. And I don't think I actually did anything on that site then for a little while. I had a little bit of, I've kind of done freelance writing on the side as well since probably about then, 2018, 2019. So I think I had a few clients on the side, you know, either side of work before and after. So I was writing and I kind of forgot about the site. And then it was 2020, yeah, when kind of the pandemic hit and COVID, and I got put on furlough. So at this point, I've left my protein, or a marketing manager somewhere at an environmental company, which is, so this kind of a niche then went into this environmental topic. And from there, moved to another company, which I've just left now after 4 years. And yeah, when COVID hit, I got put on furlough, and I looked at the analytics for the first time in a while, and the kind of graph was going up the right direction. I thought, oh, okay. I think I remember thinking it got to about literally 500 views a month at this point. But, oh, it's probably worth actually putting a little bit of effort into this. So with the extra time from COVID and not and being on furlough, I started writing again. So for the site, and I've been doing it kind of since then. Yeah, say I'm up to about 250 blog posts now. I say mainly written by me, but I have had a little bit of help. I kind of de delved into getting some writers for me, but yeah, a lot of that I've done myself. But the company I've just left, I was their digital marketing manager. They were a well-established company, but I kind of got to the point where I thought I'd done all I can. So we did a new website. And helped them a lot of SEO. So when I joined, I think it was on like 800,000 page views a year, I think it was. And we got up to nearly 3 million by the time I left.
Oh,
So,
wow.
and it was all just it's basic SEO. It wasn't anything special, but I thought if I could do it to, you know, that website, then I can do it on my own. And if I'm getting 3 million, I think it was like 250,000 a month. I thought, yeah, I'll be doing okay if I can get to that point. Not got to that point yet, but it's all a work in progress.
Yeah, but you've been doing it and you know the process, so you can implement on your own stuff. But how was the that your niche site, the first one, how was that monetized?
So it was with ads. So yeah, again, I say I've always been a little bit sales averse. I never like to be pushy, and that type of thing. So I thought, and with the income school guys, I thought I publish a lot of content, I put ads on there, and you know, I'll just kind of earn from there. I don't need to do affiliate or anything like that. Just keep it simple, which I try to, most things in my life, I just try and keep them simple and
Yeah.
streamlined. as much as I can. What I didn't know is probably the niche is not the best ad rates in this niche. So I planned it all out and where I should be at. If I publish this many content, this many blogs, I get this many views and I get this much kind of money. Yeah, it's not quite worked out that way. I got some formula from, you know, John Dykstra. He was like,
yep,
each blog should get about 300 page views a month and then times it by, you know, your RPM and all this. And yeah, it's a bit underneath that at the minute. So, but that, yeah, it's in the environmental niche and, you know, rightly so, it's not kind of, you know, there's not tons of products. There are products because there's always, you know, an alternative for stuff, but by its very nature, it's almost, you know, a little bit not in your face kind of thing.
Does that mean you're competing with the company you were just working for?
No, so they were they were a consultancy, so they were working with businesses and, you know, kind of doing environmental reports and all sorts of stuff, carbon monitoring. So mine's based more towards the consumer.
Gotcha.
So yeah, it was so primarily with ads, and then the rates were good at first, and then it started to drift off. So now I'm kind of changing my approach a little bit, and I'm going back up. You know, like most people, you kind of look at the things that you wrote about two, three years ago, and it's, you know, you're like, what are you thinking? What have I written here? Terrible. So I'm kind of going over some of the more popular content, and I'm making it going down the affiliate route a little bit more.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm trying to build that up. I've stayed away from Amazon since the beginning. Mainly due to, well, initially it's like kind of ethical reasons almost. Again, not fitting in with that environmental side. It looked a bit dodgy, but I stay away from them. There's a lot of private kind of programs out there. And yeah, that's all already started to make kind of inroads and do quite well. So I think I'm going to concentrate on that a little bit more.
Oh, perfect. Are you able to share any kind of revenue numbers for that site?
Yeah, sure. So, I'd say actually for the past year, it's probably flatlined a little bit. So I've hit, once I got hit by Google updates, but yeah, they're just not quite. So at the height of it, and that's probably continued actually for the past year. So I've just got into like low four figures.
Nice.
And that was mainly, I'd say about, initially it was 80-20 in favour of ads, and now it's slowly coming more towards it. So probably 60-40, I think, now, ads and affiliate.
Nice.
So yeah. Well,
what's your plan going forward with that site then, in terms of growing that? Obviously, we'll dive into a little more of what else you're doing being full-time now through 2020 onwards, but is there a plan in place to continue growing that site outside of maybe just publishing more content?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've got some, I'd say big plans. I've got, definitely got plans for the site. I'm going to go back, update the existing content, go through that process. But then I've got some kind of, content hubs almost that I want to go into. So for the past, I think actually looking back now, for the past maybe year before that, I had a big content push and I got a couple of writers on board and they were helping me out. And I was just going after low competition keywords completely. It was all in the niche, but they weren't as tied together as they should be, weren't a close knit. In my mind, they were, you know, they all kind of matched up, but in Google's mind, they're obviously not. So a lot of that stuff has not taken off as I thought it would. So the things that I've got potential, I'm going to try and go back and fill in the gaps almost and get that, especially with the focusing a little bit more on affiliate. So I've got a lot of info content as like the basis. So if I can start to build the layers of affiliate onto that, you know, into the kind of sales pages and landing pages, I'm going to try and, fill in those gaps to get that the content kind of singing, because there's a lot there and it is good. It's good quality as far as I, you know, I'm aware. A little bit sharpening up probably, but I think there's potential. And then, say there's a couple of new areas that I want to go into, and in this niche I think it's only going to get bigger. It's like, you know, environmental sustainability, that side of things. So that's why I'm kind of hanging on to it and playing the long game, I think, with this site.
Yeah.
I don't want to just plow it for as much money as possible. That would be nice, but I think eventually that will come, and we'll get there. But yeah, so these new content hubs, I think I'm going to try and get like kind of 50 blogs on. I've got two or three in mind. If I can get 50 on each of them, then I'll be very happy, really.
Yeah, I see on your on your newer site, you've actually gone tighter with a lot of your content. You've obviously learned from that original one. But before we go down that road with the newer site as well, obviously between 2020 and then today, you've obviously been able to move full time. So what have you done on top of that site to be able to do your own thing?
Yeah, so my plan at the start, when I first, I say maybe a couple months into the site, was I'll go full time with this one site, it'll be fine, all the plans. Didn't quite work out like I said at the minute, but I guess for the past maybe 6 months, I've kind of just got that real itch just to get more time, go on my own. Time's been tight, so I've got a little 15-month-old boy at the minute, so the past year, I know you've got a little one yourself. God, time's I'm very routine driven. So before work, I'm happily getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'll either go to the gym, or if I'm not going to the gym, I'll get 2 hours, solid work on the site.
Yeah.
In the evening, I'll do a bit of work as well. Obviously, with the baby, that kind of went out the window. So then I kind of think I just need more time. Like everyone says, don't need any more time. So my other route, I just thinking outside the box, was I've still got this freelance writing website that still does generate leads. I've not done anything with it, just lives there. I've optimized it a little bit for some keywords. And I just get inbound leads every now and again. And a lot of them over the past couple of years, the bigger jobs especially, I've been like, I just can't do it. They've asked me to go down to wherever for meetings, and they want maybe a couple of days a week on a project, and I've just not been able to. I've not been willing to make the leap, perhaps. Stuff like easier stuff, I want, a couple of blog posts. I want a blog post. I'll happily do that. Done like ebooks and things on the side. But what's changed in the past couple of months is I've kind of made more concrete plans. If I can get a couple of like retainer clients in, build up the work slowly until it's at a point where I can happily say, hand him a notice and go it alone. So that's what I've done. So I've managed. I think once that kind of clicked in my mind that I'll need to kind of go down this route, unless, it's going to be another couple of years. And then there's things started happening, really. And stuff started coming in, and I was starting to say yes a little bit more and having more conversations, which I was probably reluctant to do. And I got a couple of really good offers. And that enabled me to hand him a notice. But I think what kind of key to that was just speaking to people, really. And so I listen to quite a lot of podcasts and, read a few things online. And if I like something or something resonates with me, I'll drop them a message on whatever platform, they're on. Maybe I did the same to you, actually. But
yeah, I think so.
If I hear something out there, nothing kind of salesy, just to say either thank you or if, there's some kind of crossover, to get that conversation going. And that's really worked massively. I kind of wouldn't be doing this full time without that. And I know that's a little bit, it's not purely the website, is it, that I've been building, but all that's helped actually to be, kind of proof points almost. Everything that I've done before is kind of leading up to that. And it's all started to kind of come as one, really.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you're basically like a full-time writer now. But I'm just thinking monetization from, you have a site generating leads for writing jobs. You could monetize that site too and literally just take cuts from other writers that you refer.
Yeah, true, actually. Yeah, I never thought about that. Yeah.
I was just like, wait, you're getting leads on the site and you're not doing anything with them?
Yeah, that's actually a good point. Yeah, I've turned down quite a lot of stuff. Just not been well. I think, oh, that sounds a little bit hard work, or it's kind of the whole project managing on some of them. But yeah, definitely, because that, I mean, I've niched down in my writing. At first, I was very broad, and I've had to take whatever I can get. But now, since I've got more experience in two fields in particular, really. There's the environmental sustainability side and kind of health and fitness, so concentrated on them too. They also a couple of websites and that, so that's helped niche down. Yeah, so I mean, if I grew that freelance website and put a bit more effort into generating leads, then yeah, you're probably right actually. Could attend to a little agency, but then that brings with it, doesn't it, it's problems.
But is that are the leads specifically inquiring for those two niches on that site?
Mainly, yeah.
Okay,
So
yeah, it's perfect.
yeah, I built a couple of landing pages, and there's not much competition, surprisingly. I've literally done nothing. I've not built any links. I've not even got any socials for it. But yeah, they still rank quite well, and just drip feed stuff in. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's such a, I guess it's, you could almost call it a hole in the content market. I mean, people will go find their own freelancers and stuff on Fiverr, Upwork, or
Yeah.
go through content agencies. Obviously, Niche Website Builders does a bunch of content for different niches, but I don't, there aren't really any content agencies that focus on just one specific niche, which is where I would see it converting way better. Because if I'm in a niche, I don't want to just bring any content writer into my site. I want someone who's, I don't know, studied it. This is the thing they do. They write mainly just in this niche. They have expert knowledge in that area, and I want that person to write for me, not just whatever. And obviously the leads that come are interested in that too. So it's pretty interesting space that you could probably go down with that.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, good point. Especially with the whole kind of AI thing. I think I don't want to get in that too much, but I think the specialism is going to, well, I'm hoping it's going to play quite an important role in not just, you're not churning out generic content. You've got that experience, and you can back it up, and you can lay your kind of individuality into each piece. Whereas, yeah, AI is not doing some of these things. Obviously, it is very good, but yeah, I'm hoping that can play a good part, really. Oh, yeah.
So how much freelancing writing work are you having to do each month, and how much time are you able to put onto your own sites then?
Yeah, so this month, my first month, I did take on quite a lot of freelance writing to keep me going. So yeah, say baby, a mortgage, all the usual stuff. I built up some kind of savings on the side in case things didn't go quite according to plan. But yeah, I wanted to cover myself and get that, and I thought I could always, the more I accept, I can bring that look down later on. So this month I'll probably would have written really close to 30,000 words.
Ooh.
Yeah, so yes,
Damn.
about 30,000, I know. So I mean, I just found myself, I do like writing, and it helps out that the topics I'm interested in. Like I say, I've chosen these niches, and it still takes me half a day to write a good post by the time
Yeah,
drafted it up,
I'm the same
edited
as you.
it, and yeah, I don't like to rush these things out. But yeah, I think not far off 30,000 words, which I kind of worked it out as I could do that in so many days. I'm trying to work out how many days that is, but at the end of the month, I'll have possibly a week then to solidly work on my sites and my content.
Gotcha.
Is the plan at the minute. I still do a little bit of, so I'm splitting my days into two, like conventional method, in morning and kind of afternoon. So if I can get two solid kind of 3 hour blocks in the morning and the afternoon, to do that, the paid work, and then sometimes before work and sometimes after work, I'll work on my own stuff as well. Yeah, I've got like a big list of obviously stuff I want to do, and content I want to produce, and jobs and all that sort of stuff on the two sites that I run. So yeah, it's kind of fitting that I am eager to do that. So I'm hoping to kind of get more time, because that's the But I'm enjoying it, though. I'm enjoying writing. 30,000 is quite a lot.
Nice. Let's jump into your second site as well. Do you want to maybe share, we talked about health and fitness, but maybe share number of posts, traffic numbers, monetization strategies, basically all of that in between.
Yeah. So second site, yeah, it's in health and fitness space, which I'm a little passionate about, been kind of just doing it on my own for 15 years plus, going to the gym, etc. So yeah, I knew I wanted to start something on that. I thought it was going to be too popular to get into some massive players there, but yeah, I kind of figured out there's always a little bit of room. Like you were saying before, learning from the other website, I've kept it really kind of tight-knit in the articles that I've published so far, which is not many at all. There's less than 30 articles on there. But I'm hoping that Google is starting to see the website for what it is, and they're actually, yeah, they're ranking these sites. Some of them are ranking pretty well. Traffic-wise, not big, really, probably about 5,000 pages. From those, I think it's 28 blogs. And even some of the ones at the beginning, I've probably got 20 good blogs on there, to be fair. Quite tight-knit. Monetization, I've not done anything with it until about a couple of weeks, no, maybe last week or week before. But with this site, I'm going down the pure affiliate route.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'm going to see how that goes. Keep ads off there. So I've got ads, obviously I've got ads on the other website, and yeah, with the Zoic. I just don't like the way they look. And I know
everyone has the same complaint.
Yeah, everyone's the same, aren't they? So I'm going to see how far I can get with just affiliate, keeping it nice and clean. And I know a couple of people who've pure affiliates and no ads whatsoever and do really well. So I'm thinking, yeah, why not? Just give it a go.
Yeah, one of my sites is like that. My personal main personal brand site. Are you going to create this like almost like your personal brand site?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, my face and name is going to be over it, like it is with the other site. And I think that's the way I like to work, to be fair. I couldn't imagine doing something where, you know, I'm either not interested or if I'm going to put my name to it, obviously it's going to be good. So. Well, I'll try and make it good. So yeah, it will be a bit of a personal brand site. I'm hoping to expand it a little bit more though, and probably go down around the route that a lot of people go down, get some specialist writers on it as well, and yeah, make it definitely more. I think it is quite brandable. At the minute, it just looks like a basic niche site. It's pretty not the best to look at, but the written content should be good. So yeah, plans to tidy it up, just get it into a proper looking, more professional site, really. But yeah, I've literally only just started monetizing it, so it's not made anything so far. It's been sat there for a while. I put a lot of resource into the other site past year or two, and every now and again I've had like kind of content pushes with this site. I think I'll just publish 5 blog posts that in a couple of weeks' time, and do it that way. So hopefully we'll start to expand it a lot more. I'm going to keep the niches, going to keep the topics pretty tight. Got some kind of product reviews lined up, which I think, yeah, that's the kind of individual product review. Yeah. Like I'm not. The comparison ones, I always find them quite hard to write. Don't know about you, but
in what way?
Like the something versus A versus B, or where you're kind of pairing off two. I just find it very kind of quite bitter to write almost.
We should dive into that because I'm sure the audience might find some value out of that, as well as maybe some people also struggle with comparing. But is it something in? But is it the format of the article that becomes difficult, or is it more just actually comparing the products that's difficult?
I think it's more like the formatting, I guess. I've done it a little bit in the past, and I guess in a way it does make it easier because you've got like you've got this kind of little subheadings that you're gonna cover, but yeah, I just prefer just getting into one kind of one product almost and writing a lot more detail. Whereas, yeah, the A versus B or X versus whatever, that's, I don't know why. I think it is more the kind of format, and it's always, oh, kind of, they're always a winner and a loser, which I know you'll need if you're going to be recommending products anyway. But I think I'd just get in depth into one product review, and for the stuff I've been writing about especially, that's, people are looking for these individual reviews, you know, the keyword research, it's whatever brand name review, and that's helped a lot actually, because I found there's not been that much competition for the stuff I've been writing about. So whereas the A versus B has not been as popular. Yeah, I just don't find it as enjoyable to write.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But to compare it, so I rank for comparing two different barbells, but I don't recommend one or the other. I recommend both, because both are,
all right, okay,
both are top of the line at the end of the article. But like, I'll just go into like how you would almost like a buyer's guide. So if you're doing, say if you're doing barbells, you'd have like, you know, what you're looking for on the best barbell. I don't know, knurling, whip, durability, warranty, blah, blah. And that's kind of what you're comparing the two on throughout the article anyway.
Yeah.
So then it becomes a little easier when you're going back and forth in each section. So you might, your H2 will be X versus Y, which is better, what's the difference? Then all your H3s will be all those things.
Yeah.
And just compare on all those things with videos, yeah, pictures, etc. And that's how I found it kind of easiest to write them.
Mm. And you have kind of putting like the comparison tables and all that into the, I think that's what puts me up a little, the kind of the tables and the, yeah, I don't know.
Well, it depends what tech stack you're using too. Like, I understand everyone wants to be on generate blocks because it's free and fast.
Yeah.
But it's a fucking bitch putting together
like
table stuff that don't look wonky and weird.
Yeah.
And so I just use Thrive themes. I just have Thrive themes on my main sites. And that means if I need to do tables and stuff, I just have the page builder, and everyone says don't use page builders, but I pass all the page speed, whatever, with my page builder stuff. So I don't really care. And it converts and it looks nice. So, and I can just do tables when I need to.
Right. Well, that does help. I think that may be part of the problem. Yeah. Cause I use one site's on GeneratePress, and the just using the Gutenberg blocks, and I think is it Spectra as well? It's a plugin. It makes it a little bit easier, but I'd look at it on mobile, and you know, the tables are all over the place, and so I think having actually something like that would be helpful. Recently got Lasso. literally about 2 days ago. And that's been, I've been pretty impressed with that, I must say.
Nice.
So I'm hoping that could be a good way forward, and just obviously solves all your formatting, doesn't it? And it gets it put stuff into nice, neat, user-friendly tables, and yeah, all sort of stuff.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Lasso. If Jamie IF is listening to this, I'm waiting for them to release their feature where you can differentiate organic versus paid traffic conversions on affiliate offers. They're apparently building that out. I'm waiting for that. And then I want to send some paid traffic to my buyer's guides, and then see for the ones I have private affiliate offers on. Mm-hmm. And then at least be able to track paid revenue versus the organic, and then see if that's scalable, because that would be interesting.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Yeah, I'm hearing a lot more about people sending direct traffic. And that's been around for a while, but, you know, from social and to certain pages. But, again, that's the whole tracking side of things. So what, Lasso doesn't do that at the minute, does it now?
No, they're developing it at the moment. Okay. And then you'll be able to track that, hopefully, through the different affiliate programs. So it'll be interesting to see.
Nice. Well, so I heard about that. Are you saying Jamie IF went to conference recently in York, the affiliate gathering.
Nice. How was it?
Really good. Yeah, very good. I went last year as well, and kind of a bit of a lone wolf, but that this year I knew more people, and so I had a few good conversations, met with some people, you know, speaking to on Twitter, and
that's where every affiliate marketer is in the UK.
Yeah. There's a lot of the big players there. Yeah, and it's great, really, is to put kind of, you know, faces to names and just have kind of good chats. And yeah, Jim did a presentation on the second one of the day, and I think it probably come at the right time for me, like thinking about the more affiliate side of things. And yeah, I need to get this, actually. It's going to help out a lot. And so far, it's just so good. Yeah,
100%. Yeah, affiliate's great. Are you looking to do your own digital products and things on that site for further monetization down the line?
Yeah, that's definitely something I want to go down as well. So yeah, on my main site, I've started building a newsletter. Well, I've been publishing for a while. It just shot 2,000 people on there, so it's not massive. Oh, wow. But it's just the pop-up comes up and it says interested in blah blah blah, sign up here. So there's no sort of like lead magnet. So I'm hoping to build out some kind of, you know, a short ebook or things that people do. And then on the newer side of health and fitness, I think there's probably room for more digital products there as well, potentially paid stuff. But yeah, I've not started going down the email route on the new site. But yeah, the old site one, I've got like a good audience there, and it's built up slowly over time. And I've got to the point, yeah, so I do sell a few sponsorships as well, and the newsletter send outs, which obviously helps with the kind of the monthly income. So I'll send in one a month, then I've got to 2 months. That's just a manual thing, you know, for message or from speaking to whoever brand, I'll mention about the newsletter. It's got X subscribers, open rate, and generally speaking, they're quite, they want to get involved with some kind of sponsorship, whether it's that or a sponsored post, which I've gone down as well. Quite selective on the sponsored articles, but I kind of work with the brand to, you know, to edit it and write it to my style, and that's worked quite well as well. So rather than just publishing generic kind of, obviously kind of sales stuff, which is going to have the link in there for the whoever's paying for it, get a bit more of kind of a long-term proper post, as I'd call it, has worked quite well.
How much are you charging for sponsorship on your newsletter?
On the newsletter, I've no idea what the kind of baseline of this, but I was seeing it as, how does it work out? Like 10p per subscriber. So when I hit 1,500, put sponsorship up to £150.
Gotcha.
So my when they reach 2,000, I've done just short of now. I don't know. Yeah, people have not been too kind of reluctant, and I might stack some kind of things on that spec, well, with this sponsored post as well, which you're probably charging similar amounts for. Or I've been offering recently, we can do work on a mini cluster, so of 3 or 5 blog posts, and you know, it's slightly reduced rates, or I'll include a newsletter sponsorship within that. So these kind of like little packages, which I'm hoping to build out into, I've not got a media kit or anything, it's just purely over email. But I think that might be a good route to go down. Just another way of monetizing the site, really, without kind of being over the face, you know, too salesy, which I'm always conscious of. And I probably won't be, because people are used to it, aren't they? But yeah, I want to kind of maintain good standards. Well, I quite like the idea of these little packages, putting them together, and then, you know, if you sell a couple of them in a month, eventually, then you'll be doing quite well.
Yeah. So how much of your income is, I guess, or what's the split between the stuff you're doing with freelancing and then your sites then as a total full-time, self-employed person?
Yeah. I'd say maybe 60-40 in favor of the freelance side. Probably about 60-40. So I mean, yeah, the plan is, like I say, build up that more in favor of my sites and those the online businesses. Hopefully the kind of ratio will go over that way, but yeah, 60-40, which, you know, I'm pretty comfortable with, really, and it's put me in a good position to
And you get to work at home and do it in your own time. I mean, there's so many advantages, and there's probably a lot of people listening to this, you know, potentially wanting to go down the same road. So do you have any advice for anyone who's maybe, you know, stuck in their 9 to 5, maybe has a couple of sites earning, I don't know, a low 4 figures, but wants to kind of move full time and do similar to what you're doing?
My probably biggest tip, which this I wouldn't have said this a couple of years ago, would be like the networking effect, and like say messaging people and just speaking to people. So that's always something I've not been that willing to do, I guess. But when I started to do that, I noticed really good results. And kind of that's worked in my favour. So I would say if anyone has got their own niche or they particularly enjoy something, I think that's a big one for me as well, making sure that I enjoy what I'm doing. I don't think I couldn't do it long term, whether it's writing or a website about something that I wasn't interested in. It just bore me, I think. I think getting yourself out there, whether it's kind of personal branding, LinkedIn's quite a good place for that as well, especially if you're kind of on the writing side of things, or Twitter for like the niche websites is always good. I guess patience as well. I heard recently, I might be on another podcast, about the four burners theory. So got these four burners, friends, family, work and health. So if you really want to excel in any one of them, you kind of, one or two of the other ones are going to have to be sacrificed. If you're going to go on to do Jeff Bezos things, then you probably just work, the other stuff's going to go out the door. But I've always wanted to keep things simple, sustainable. So with those, I've always just got to keep things balanced. And I know that works, it takes longer to kind of achieve things almost, but going forward and longevity, I'm hoping, you know, that'll benefit me really. And I'm kind of, I come to terms with the fact that you know, it's going to take me a little extra to get there. But then the other side thing, there's no substitute for hard work. You've got to do the work, haven't you? It's kind of, so yeah, I've been working, I say getting up at 5 o'clock, working to like 7 for years, really, for a couple of years, and enjoying it. I mean, yeah, say I'm not going to get up at that time if I'm not going to kind of be willing to do it, make a little coffee, do some work. That's what I love, really. One kind of thing actually that come into play, again, it's from another podcast. I'm not sure, I think they asked the going. It's called Freedom Pact, and it was just about when I tried to sell the site originally after like a couple of months, I'll sell the content. They had some, I can't remember who they had on, got in touch with them and say thanks for the show. Then randomly they sent me out a book called Turning Pro by Stephen Pressfield. I keep it on my desk now. And it's only a small book. It's like dead thin, but it's really easy to read. Like it's just dead. Each page is almost a chapter. And that really changed my mind, actually. The whole kind of concept of going from amateur to pro and doing things properly. Yeah, it changed a lot of things. And that's when I started. That was 2020, I think. So I kind of, that was just completely out of the blue. Didn't know what they were sending me. And that the whole kind of, say mindset change when I received it.
What's some key takeaways out of that book? That's interesting, because Stephen Pressfield wrote, was that the War of Art? War of Art, right?
The War of Art. So he did, I think he does a few, like, what do you call them? The mythological stuff, which is not my bag, really. But this one, it's all about, I think it's the way he writes is really good. Like as a writer, it's just so simple to understand some of the sentences. Like it's not complicated, the writing, but which makes the message really clear. And it's all about kind of overcoming resistance, which he calls resistance, to kind of the side that's stopping you almost. So you're always going to have that voice in the back of your head, and it's just the whole concept of turning pro is overcoming that, not listening to it, doing the work, just getting through it. But he's tailored it so it's kind of aimed at creatives and entrepreneurs.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, it's just so kind of so well written. So I've probably read it about four or five times since he sent it to me, and every time I kind of pick up something new, a new takeaway from it. And I recommend it. Anyone who's kind of on the cusp of wanting to go freelance or self-employed, or you've kind of got to do it. You mentioned in it about shadow careers, where you're probably doing something that's similar to what you really want to do. So, which I think probably I was doing. So I was working in digital marketing, and I was building websites for other companies, and I was doing all this, and these companies were in like really good money over the back of what I was doing. So why not do that for myself? And that book kind of brings you around to thinking, just do it, essentially. He's done a couple of similar ones. I think one's called Do the Work, and The War of Art, as you mentioned, that's another one. They're all kind of similar, but yeah, the message is just do it, just kind of go for it. Most of the times it always works out.
Nice. I need to get that book then and get that on the bookshelf. That sounds like a good read for anyone in this space. But that's pretty much everything I wanted to ask you, Ben. Where can people find you and follow you, see what you're up to, follow your journey as you progress through your self-employed career now?
Probably best, not that active on social. I think maybe I've got a Twitter handle, which is @HardmanBS. That is, I don't really put much content on there, but I'll look at it most days. I'm a freelance writing website that's called Copy B Creative, which has got kind of other contact details if like I've done in the past, if people want to drop me a message for whatever reason, don't know why they would, but you never know. They can find me over there, and I'll be happy to have a chat or respond or whatever.
Perfect. We'll get those linked up in the description for you as well, if anyone wants to get in touch. But thanks for coming on, Ben, and sharing your journey to being full time. And hopefully you inspired a few people to take the plunge as well.
Hopefully so. Yeah. No, it's been good to talk to you, and thanks for having me on. And keep doing what you're doing.
Cheers.